If you're down in the valley, we invite you to come up a little higher. Join the conversation. Pittsburgh's Christian Talk continues with John and Kathy on 101.5 WORD.
You know, it happens like clockwork every Monday morning, at least, you know, around here. You get on the elevator, you press the button to come up here to the sixth floor. People in the elevator, to a person, look as though their pet poodle, Fifi, died over the weekend. Everyone is severely depressed on a Monday morning. Everyone. You wonder about the nature of work, about why we work. Well, Hugh Welshel's with us again. His new work is called How Then Should We Work? Hugh is the executive director of the Institute for Faith, Work, and Economics. It's a biblical advocacy think tank in the Washington, D.C. area. How Then Should We Work? Rediscovering the Biblical Doctrine of Work. Hugh, welcome back. How are you?
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back.
So, Hugh, it seems like one of the great lies that Satan pulls Christians into is that our lives are fragmented, that our relationship with God and our belief in Jesus is one little area, but then everything else is disconnected, right? So we might have Sunday morning for Jesus, but then when we go to work on Monday, forget about it. There's no connection whatsoever between faith and work. You're saying that's completely looking at it the wrong way.
That's exactly right. I call it the Monday silo, Sunday silo, that we go to church, we worship God, but when we go to work on Monday morning, it's not that we forget all that. It's not that we go to work and we're dishonest and we don't have Christian ethics, but we don't understand the importance of our work to God. Our work radically matters to God, and it should matter to us.
Mm-hmm. So, Hugh, in all this, when we think about our work ethic from a Christian perspective, you know, people go to work, you know, to be a success, right, in their lives. So are you saying that there's a difference in a Christian work ethic and a Christian definition of success?
I think there is. I think being successful from a Christian perspective, particularly if we look at something like the parable of the talents, tells us that it's taking the gifts that God has given us, taking the opportunities that God presents to us in his providence, and then using those in a way that glorifies God and furthers his kingdom. In other words, we are to be the best that we can be for his glory and really for the furtherance of his kingdom as well as the flourishing of mankind, our fellow men.
So then why is there such a distorted view of work? I mean, does the church have something to do with that distortion?
I think it does. I think one of the problems is that we've so truncated kind of this, what I call the fourth chapter gospel, the meta-narrative that's taught by Scripture, and we've truncated it in such a way that what we do, we look at our lives as our particular Christian lives, as if we've got a bus ticket to heaven. Our salvation is simply a bus ticket to heaven, and really, I'm sitting around waiting for the bus to come, and what I do in the here and now really doesn't matter, and I can play video games until the bus comes. And what we don't realize is, yes, we are called to live a much fuller life, but that life begins today, and that what we do in the present, in the here and now, really matters to God.
Interesting. So historically, then, there has to be that in a certain time frame, you talk about it in your work, How Then Should We Work?, that early Christians had a different view of work as opposed to the medieval Christian view of work, the Reformation view of work, the 18th and 19th century view of work, right?
That's exactly right. I think, you know, the early church at the time of Paul and shortly after really got it right. They understood that work was important to God. But then what happens is these fallacies begin to creep into the church over the centuries. And before long, you get the medieval church where the only work that was really spiritual work was the work done by the priest. Everyone else's work was secular. The reformers come along and said, no, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that everyone's work is important to God. Fast forward another 400 or 500 years, and we've forgotten that lesson once again. So what do you hear people say all the time in the church? They'll say, well, did you hear about Mary Smith? She quit her job at the bank to go into full-time Christian service. You know, and the Bible teaches all work is full-time Christian service, but we've got it just upside down.
Okay, so let's say that again. All work is full-time Christian ministry, if you are a believer.
That's exactly right. And it goes beyond just, a lot of times you read about, and things, and these are people well-intentioned, but they talk about workplace ministry, and what they're talking about is sharing your faith at work. Now, certainly we're supposed to share our faith at work. That's very important. But Our work is much more than just a platform to share our faith. Our work is something that God has given us to make a difference. I tell people all the time, the main point of my book is simply this, is that the number one tool God has given us as Christians to be salt and light in the world, to go out and make a difference in our communities, in our state, in our nation, the tool he's given us to radically impact everything for Christ is our vocational calling.
Hmm. So Solomon and the phrase, he who dies with the most toys wins, in some way is how we look at our work in America today.
Unfortunately, that's true. I heard somebody the other day said that the postmodern version of that is he who dies with the most toys wins, but he's still dead. And I think that that's probably true, but I think we've got everything completely different. The end of the parable of the talents, there's a telling scene where when the guy with five talents who produces five more talents and the guy with two talents that produces two more talents are told, come in and enjoy the master's joy. I mean, enter into the master's joy is what they're told. And that should be what we're working for. We should be working for the joy of the master, not to build up all sorts of wealth, and not that anything's wrong with wealth. But the trick, I think, is beginning to see our vocational callings, our work, is something that God wants us to participate in, to be excellent in, and to bring him glory so that when we meet him, he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Mm-hmm. This is not about salvation. So many people say, well, that's works. I can't go there. That's about earning my salvation. Nothing about earning your salvation. I mean, we are brought into God's kingdom through his work, through the work of his son. His powerful hand holds us in this incredible covenant relationship with him. It's nothing we do who brings us in or lets us out. But while we're here, he wants us to do things to make a difference in the here and now, to impact people, to impact our communities, to impact, dare I say, even our culture. And this is something I think we've lost track of. The Puritans understood this. The people who came over on the boat, that the Mayflower, the Pilgrims, all those guys, they got this. And they built an incredible nation. But in the last century, we've walked away from this great truth, and I worry the impact that it will have.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. So now, instead of quality in our work and giving our best to God, we entertain ourselves to death, which is so anathema to a quality life.
That's exactly right. We're much like the Greeks. We worship entertainment and leisure, and we hate work.
Hugh, what about the despair that John was talking about at the start of our segment with you? You get on the elevator, and it's just like, you know, a wave of depression.
It's a moving mausoleum.
Right, at 9:10 on a Monday morning. So if people had this vision of work that you're talking about, then our attitude toward it, I mean, believe me, we're not perfected human beings yet, so it's not like we're going to get up every Monday morning and say, yippee, I can't wait to get to work.
That's right.
But there is something to knowing that what I'm doing has significance to God every minute of every day.
That's right. That's right. And we know that our work's going to be difficult. That's part of the fall. The scripture clearly points that out. But I find so many people that are desperately looking to find a kind of a personally fulfilling and spiritually significant life, and they look every place except for their work. Mm. They're trying to find it at church. They're trying to find it in working part-time or at night with a nonprofit group or something. And all those things are great. But we miss the number one tool God's given us, and it's an incredible opportunity that we're missing. Because if we really want to find true significance, both spiritually and personally, we've got to find it in our work. It's like the old country western song, looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah.
We're looking for significance in all the wrong places.
So that requires, if we wanted to love our work and then through association love Christ, a seismic spiritual shift, so to speak, in how we look not only at ourselves, our jobs, and our faith. How do you do all those three things? That seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, no, it is a lot of work. It's a lot of work to understand how to work our work, I guess is a good way to put it. But one of the things I do in the book, I walk through, I think, five specific things that the Bible teaches that you really have to understand, really get your head around this whole idea of the importance of the work and how God wants to use our work to radically change everything. And I think it's interesting. One of my favorite quotes is by Dorothy Sayers, who was a contemporary of C.S. Lewis and Tolkien. And she said, work is not primarily a thing one does to live, but a thing one lives to do. And we've got to recapture that excitement about work, mm-hmm. about being excited about going to work and making a difference and seeing how God uses everything we do at work, even the most mundane things we do on a day-to-day basis, and somehow mysteriously transforms them into kingdom work.
Fantastic. Hugh, it's a great call to action. Thanks again for being with us.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
Hugh Welschel, How Then Should We Work? Rediscovering the Biblical Doctrine of Work. Stick around.
101.5 WORD.
Sherry Jennings remembers drawing a line in the sand, having a difficult conversation with her husband.